The renowned trends journal publisher, Gerald Celente of the Trends Research Institute, joins us on the podcast. Thank you, Mr. Celente, and greetings from Mexico.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Let's jump right in and talk about the serious threat of world war and the gravity of the situation. I listen often to the speeches of world leaders such as Vladimir Putin and his foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. Putin has stated that Russia does not want war, but that they have modernized their nuclear forces and will use them in self-defense. And just 2 days ago, Putin again is speaking between the lines to the West, saying that he hopes nuclear missiles will not be a necessary weapon against ISIS. And separately, Putin has stated that he knows the U.S. is behind ISIS. I view him almost as a Russian John F. Kennedy and feel this is the Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0, because back then the U.S. provoked Russia via missiles stationed in Turkey, and now again the U.S. has provoked Russia via Turkish missiles downing a Russian jet. And the Prime Minister Medvedev recently stated that a century ago, this attack by Turkey would have started a war. So what are your thoughts on the situation and the important players?
Well, this is only one incident in a whole long history of United States and its coalition of the killings imperialism. It's not only the United States, Turkey, and Russia. I mean, let's go back to the beginning of the war on terror. I mean, we could start with that one, and that's a convenient one under George Bush. But let's go back under his father, who had the first Gulf War and invading Iraq and slaughtering the people there. And then go after him, go to Bill Clinton with his destruction of Yugoslavia and his ongoing bombing of Iraq on virtually a weekly basis. People forgot the no-fly zones. Look at the refugees that are fleeing into Europe. Where are they coming from? Going into Germany, the latest data came out, that they rank the people from Kosovo. They had about 40, 50,000 of them just last year. So the United States, and then with George Bush and the invasion, occupation, and destruction of Afghanistan, and the longest war in American history, and then that peace prize winner. How about a piece of crap? Another little lying boy. Barack Obama, one little kid after another, little Bush, little Clinton, little Barack, and Hillary Clinton and Samantha Powers and Susan Rice with the invasion and overthrow of Libya. And then you have to bring in the other countries that are involved in this. Those French can't get over that colonial trip, can they? No, they're back in Syria now. They were only there from the end of World War I, started by the other madmen over there, the English, with that trip that the sun never sets on the English Empire. And the French had been in Syria from the end of World War I to the end of World War II. Look what they're in. Now they're back in Mali. They can't get over the French Sudan trip. So it's not only Russia. It's this coalition of the killing that are using Russia as the easy, identifiable country to hate, and Islam as the religion to hate. All you have here is another element of this is the 10th crusade, and Russia and China are the other elements that the United States is going after to make it easy for the people to hate an enemy.
And Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, he made an objective and level-headed forecast when he said recently in an article that historically, as militaries begin to arm and amass, there's usually no stopping the momentum. And, if this keeps going, what would this look like? I mean, Europe and the Middle East would clearly be ground zero for a wider and greater war, but could this potentially bring war to the Americas and even Asia?
Of course it can. By the way, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is a contributor to our magazine, The Trends Journal. And we have conferences. And we just had one on September 20th, that weekend. And Dr. Paul Craig Roberts was here as a speaker. And he rarely travels anywhere, but he came here. So we're very much, in tune with each other and in contact with each other. So what he is saying is 100% correct. And that's why our top trend of 2016 is the last world war. You know, there's a saying by Einstein. They asked him, how will the third world war be fought? And he said, I have no idea how the third world war will be fought, but I know the fourth will be fought with sticks and stones. This is bigger than just attacks on America. This is global instability of levels cannot imagine. And it's not only nuclear weapons, it's biological warfare. It's dirty bombs. It's terrorism from elements of terror that we have not. There's a saying that generals are always fighting the last war. And you see that now with these aircraft carriers and destroyers. These are the battleships of the 20th century. So it's going to be hell on earth. It'll be what Einstein had predicted. And by the way, you know, it doesn't have to be like this. Because when we're mentioning the wars and we're mentioning the people, look at who they are. Look at their faces. Look at their beings. Look at their words. Listen to their words. Little Hollande. Little kid. Obama. Was he going to get tough between rounds of golf, shooting pool, and playing basketball? Little George Bush, driving his little pickup truck, a little weenie of a guy. Sarkozy started the war over there in Libya. Well, nothing of a man. To use the word man and put it into his name is a disgrace to any man that's a man. Cameron. Oh, yeah, what did he do? What's his name? David Penis in a dead pig's mouth, Cameron? That guy? Well, I'm not making that up. Yeah, that's what he did when he was in college, when he was in his fraternity. Sticking his penis in a dead pig's mouth and leading a country and leading them to war. Do you know what he called the people that are against the English bombing Syria?
No.
Quote, terrorist sympathizers. I'm saying this because it's the people that lack the courage, that let these little freaks and clowns destroy their lives and on the path to ruin the world. We held a peace conference here, Occupy Peace. And I'm not a pacifist. I'm a close combat practitioner, been studying for over 35 years. I'll kill anybody that tries to kill me, but I'm a man of peace. Because I know as a fighter, you don't want to fight. You don't never know what's going to happen. I don't care how good you think you are. So you try to cool things out. You don't fight. These little boys never fought. That's why they like to fight. And you got a guy like you're talking about Putin. He's a martial artist. He knows what fighting is. So going back to Occupy Peace, this was a peace program. This isn't about, oh, let's om and pray for peace and the spirits will hear us. No, no, no. This is an action plan to honor the founding fathers. Bring home all the troops, secure the borders, no foreign entanglements. Rebuild our rotted infrastructure, force Congress to vote for war by the Constitution, which they have not done, and now we're back in Syria and back in Iraq. Illegal. And have on the ballot where we the people tell Congress how to vote, because they don't represent us. They represent the people that give them dough. They call it campaign contributions. Where I come from, it's bribes and payoffs. I'm mentioning this to you. We sent out over 350,000 press releases around the world over a course of a month. We had Ralph Nader here, Cindy Sheehan, Dr. Robert Thurman, Uma Thurman's father, a Buddhist, very well respected and renowned in his field, Gary Null. We closed down the most historic four corners in America. The only place where there's a pre-Revolutionary War stone building on each corner, where the seeds of democracy were sown. We didn't get one inch of coverage in the media. Not even an honorable mention. I'm saying to you, it's the people. All the media are doing are pumping war and the people are waving their flags and cheering it on. It's up to the people to change it. And those aren't empty words. There's a great quote by Samuel Adams, one of the founding fathers. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. And if we don't get together and demand peace, we're going to let these little freaks ruin the lives that we have and what we have on earth, destroying the joy and beauty and just giving us more fear, hatred, and a life that most people are going to wish they were dead rather than they're going to keep living if the drums of war keep beating as loud as they are.
Well, what fascinates me most is the overall psychology of American and even European society, which has permitted these wars to take place. And here in Mexico, I teach history and international relations, and I'm sometimes even attacked by students, parents, and even colleagues for speaking out against the corruption of international politics and the insanity of American empire. And as you say, you know, I find these types of people to be weak-minded, naive, cowardly, and even downright malicious. And I'd like to read a quote from your latest Trends Journal, which says, "To sit back and do nothing, knowing full well what the outcome will be as war drums beat louder, is more than just a crime against humanity. It is a crime against personal dignity, courage, and self-respect. How is it that so many citizens can let just a few political freaks destroy so much?" And, you know, what is wrong with these societies and millennials today? You know, in your youth, Vietnam was protested, and today the youth are protesting fictitious mental disorders such as, you know, microaggression and these sorts of things. So what can you say about the state of the psychology of Americans today?
Well, you know, I'm of that age, you know, I was prime draft meat for Vietnam. And, you know, so I was there. I mean, I'm 69 years old. So, I mean, I was the first wave of baby boomers. And my father may have saw, rest in peace. There were 7 kids. And I said to him, "Pop, what should I do?" He said, "I taught you enough." He said, "You figure it out." And of course, I didn't go. And it wasn't I was intelligent enough to be against the war. And I was a kid. You know, all I thought about was sports and girls. You know, 19 years old, 18 years old. So I ended up going to college. And I barely got out of high school. I got left back in the 5th grade. I'm mentioning this because I was there. The only reason the people were protesting was because of the draft. That's why they're not protesting now, because their lives were on the line. As long as somebody else's life is on the line, nobody cares. The baby boom generation, my generation, is the biggest bunch of BS sellouts that you can imagine. Look who they vote for. Look who they put in. Clinton. What a disgusting human being. A slimer of a man. And now his wife, Hitlery, going in after him. Assad has to go. Yeah, you heard her. Gaddafi has to go. Hey, send Chelsea to go get him. Look at these low-life people. And that's my generation. And they'll argue with you, just like you were saying. They will argue with you, people of my generation, and they'll say, "Well, he's better than Bush." That's how stupid they are. Oh, yeah, Clinton and Obama didn't murder as many as Bush did. Maybe they only murdered 300,000. Bush murdered over 1 million. So they're not mass murderers. That's how sick they are. And they sold us out in every other way, too, financially, economically, with NAFTA. Look what's going on. Look at the crap product you got going into Mexico. All the crappy GMO junk that they ship down there and force on you and have put so many people out of work over there that used to have a self-sustaining life because of Bill Slimer Clinton. One after another. Now you got Obama with his Trans-Pacific Partnership. How about shove this crap up your New York what? And we'll call it a name. So it's the baby boomers. It's the people of, as I wrote in that Trends Journal, you know, they lack courage, dignity, and self-respect. You know, I have a definition for hell. Taking that last breath And knowing you weren't the person you said you were or could have been. And boy, if people don't find out who they are and where they're going, man, there's going to be an overload in hell as I see it.
I couldn't agree more. We just have a few minutes left. And I just wanted a comment on the failing American economy. You know, I'm a Croatian American, so we're neighbors in both senses, as you're an Italian American. And I'm getting signals from people I know from both continents. And in your journal, you break down the economic situation, and now we're beginning to see the clear results. You know, Croatia is one of the worst economies in the EU. And just some of the things I've heard in the past year, I've known two people who've committed suicide there. Someone has tried to steal my property by, you know, attempting to impersonate my father and usurp our home over there. And now old friends are getting so desperate so as to turn on each other for money. And in the U.S., every person with half a brain I talk to that comes down to Mexico is telling me it's game over. The middle class is dead. Taxes are through the roof. There are no good jobs. And Zero Hedge reported yesterday that now less than half of Americans are middle class. So has the train gone off the rails?
Of course it has, but it can be put back on. And that's what this trends journal that we top trends are. One again, by the way, I was just through Croatia. I started up in Trieste and I went through Slovenia and all the way down to Dubrovnik this past June. Uh-huh. And I have to tell you, I like Croatia better than Italy. And I'm Italian.
Oh, wow.
Because the Italians lost their fight. You know, we were a people that were anarchists. And now they bow down to these little clowns. But anyway, going on to your question, it can be changed if priorities are changed. And one of them we're looking at is a self-sustaining economy. Here in America, what do we have? 318 million people. We don't have to trade with other countries. Yeah, if you want to buy, you know, their prosciutto or French wines, great. But can't we make our own shoes? Can't we make our own computers? In other words, what happened, you see, this became the land of opportunity because of manufacturing. People that didn't have higher educations could get jobs in the middle class life making things. Those days are gone. So what I'm saying is it has to go back to more self-sustaining economies and not globalization that these liars, freaks, cowards, and fools like the Clintons, like the Bushes. Oh, and everybody loves Jimmy Carter. Oh, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, another little lowlife. This is the guy that supported the Mujahideen to overthrow Russia when they were in Afghanistan, stabilizing it. And now the Mujahideen, who did that morph into? We got to get Osama bin Laden. Oh, yeah, Jimmy Carter. Yeah, the Shah of Iran. Remember him propping him up? Yeah. The Shah is the island of stability in the Middle East. What I'm saying is stay home. Fix what you have at home. Then tell other people what to do. Most countries are self-sustaining that have the human and natural resources. So it can change. But it's up to the people to have the change happen. And by the way, our website, other than trendsresearch.com, for all our information, the Trends Journal, Trends in the News, Trends Monthly, Trends Weekly, is OccupyPeace.us. OccupyPeace.us. And if you want to occupy peace, we could use all the help we can get. I know billionaires, and without naming the name, one of the five richest connections in the world. They gave us absolutely not one single penny for peace. I have friends that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, not one penny for peace. So if you want peace, we have to join together to make it happen and help us with Occupy Peace. I'll fight for peace, but I'm not going to die for war.
And real quick, what advice would you give to young people today who are only beginning to learn about the way the world works and being subjected to so much propaganda, aside from subscribing to the Trends Journal?
You know, it's again, you know, people look to the millennials, they look to younger people. The younger people have to look up to older people. And, you know, again, you know, it's not like I was born under a rock. You know, I'm a kid grew up in the Bronx and Yonkers. You know, I know what life is. And I always looked up to the ancestors. I thank them every day, by the way, for me coming from their DNA and how fortunate I am. And when you look at the founding fathers of this country, and people could look at the negative things, and there's negatives in all our lives. They were also scholars and did a lot of great things. The Constitution, for example, second to none, nor the Bill of Rights. So what I'm saying is start looking to the elders and work together rather than thinking that you could do it on your own. We're all in this together. They have a different energy than we do as older people, but we have the skills and knowledge. So with our skills and knowledge and their energy and drive, that's what creates a revolution. It's a combination of all of us working together. But the millennials, they have a disadvantage because they were pumped up with so much crap by their parents of how amazing and special they were when they were little kids. They're only kids. Take it easy, you know? So they have a sense of entitlement rather than a sense of having to do the hard work to make it great. And we could have a renaissance. We've had them before. But again, it goes back to what brought the renaissance on. I mean, you're from Europe. The de Medicis, the billionaires that gave their money to beauty. And the renaissance followed the Black Plague. It was a rediscovery of the past. Alla Romana, alla Antica, in the manner of the Romans and the ancients, to describe the quality of their work. So we can make it happen. But we can't do it on our own, and we have to do it on a united voice and a united message for peace, truth, and prosperity.
Okay, and I look at the Trends Institute today and what you have done, and I'm amazed with the conferences that you put on. Your installations are looking great, and your new media production. And I believe if you do honest, quality work and tell the truth, you will thrive, and I believe the Trends Research Institute is currently thriving. I've been a Trends subscriber for years, and I recommend others to join the club. So thank you, Mr. Celente, for your time today and all the work that you and your team do.
Thank you, and thank you for all you're doing, and keep it up and don't quit.